The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning. This is the Ask the Pastor portion of the Bible Study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner, your host. Thank you for joining us this morning. Our thanks again to Pastor Lane Berglund. Well, it really was an interesting hour as we closed out the second chapter of 1 Peter, got into the first part of chapter 3. Christ as example, suffering for the faith, and then the commendation to wives and husbands about how they can express their faith by that marital relationship as exposed to the world. It is a wonderful thing, a mighty impressive thing that we get this chance to reflect the image of God, not just individually, but also in the gifts he's given us, like marriage. Right now, I must say that you don't get to ask the pastor much of anything this morning, but you might get a chance to ask me because our pastor is, well, not here at the moment. We're trying to find Pastor Mark Femmel as we go through this, but hopefully we will get a hold of him or we will find a willing substitute. You know, there's several things that are in the news that are of interest to me. I think they may be of interest to you as well. If you'd like to join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can also write to us by way of email at kfuo@kfuo.org. First question I would pose to you is, did you go to church on Sunday? Not as part of a, let's say, Christmas worship service, but if you went to church on Christmas Eve, did you attend church on Sunday? There are a number of churches this year, because Christmas Day fell on a Sunday, decided to cancel their church services. Now, is this something that you would deem to be appropriate for your congregation? The reason why is they believe it's family time. They believe that you need not to be in church on a Sunday morning, but because there are so few days when it's sort of universally accepted that you can take time off from other activities, because we're so busy, we're working all the time and running to soccer practice and all these sorts of things are going on, that, well, Christmas is the one time that everybody sort of stops and reflects on family. So why let church get in the way? And it says a number of evangelical-type churches, the non-denominational-type churches, according to this story, are doing this because, well, originally it comes out of a sentiment that, well, they don't want to seem to appear to be, well, Roman Catholic. They don't want to seem to be liturgical. They like to be free. They like to have the ability to do what they want to do as they do it. And unlike Lutherans in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, they don't want to be bound up by the controls of a liturgical calendar that says you will do this on this day and you will do that on the other day. You know, there's some other things that are kind of interesting here. Let me get into my email server, because I found some interesting audio. I want to play this for you, because this is actually kind of frightening stuff. There is a fella out there who says that if Jesus were alive today, and we know he is alive, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. But the story goes, and this is from The Blaze, one of those news resource web pages. The headline is this: faith is silly. Faith in Jesus is absolutely silly. Here is the message of this fellow. His name is Chowdhury. He says, if Jesus were alive today, this is a Muslim fellow, he would be a Muslim and he would implement Sharia law. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to catch this story or not. Let me play a little bit of this audio for you, because in a way, this is chilling stuff. Listen to this.
Christmas is a period when many events and many views are aired. In particular, at this time of the year, people think about Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. Jesus was not a Christian. And in fact, if Jesus was alive today, he would be following the Muslims and Islam. Indeed, Isa alayhi salam said that the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come after him. And he gave him one of the names which Allah has mentioned in the Quran, Ahmad. And indeed, Isa was a Muslim. There are many people who want to attribute things which are not correct to Isa alayhi salam. For example, that he believed in confession. Confessing to a person to be forgiven for your sins. That he believed in original sin, that you are born sinful. That in fact, they say that he allowed you to eat and drink whatever you wish. And in fact, he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto God what is God's. Whereas we know about the life of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, that he rose against the Roman emperor in his time. He forbade cheating in the market. He forbade the promiscuity. And he forbade the Jewish judicial system in his own era. And in fact, he said that you worship and you obey and you follow none but Allah. And that is the true message of Jesus, as found in the Quran and in the statements of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this period as well, the Muslims, those who have the attribute of...
Well, that cut off a little bit short there. I don't know why the feed was supposed to be there, but... Here is the good news this morning, because, you know, when you put out the call for help, there is always a grand and willing soul out there to come into the rescue of the Ask the Pastor portion of the program, and that is Pastor Nabil Noor from Armour, South Dakota. My friend, Merry Christmas.
Indeed, a very Merry Christmas to you, and a Christ-centered and joy-filled New Year to all of our listeners, as well as those who are streaming live on the Internet.
Now, you heard this story. Now, you also heard that the pastor...
I've heard it before, actually. Yeah. I've heard it before.
This is scary, scary stuff, Pastor.
Right.
Now, you are originally from Israel. You were born there. You immigrated to this country. You have quite a story to tell about your childhood there in the Holy Land. But why does this particular story strike you?
Roland, before I go any further, let's go to the throne of grace, because I really believe during this time, having just heard this, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up, and just there's so many emotions I need to share. And so let's do that before we jump too much into this, because I think we need the wisdom of God to speak eloquently yet simply the clarity of the gospel. Could we do that, please?
Please, please.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, I'm reminded of Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things you work for good to those who love you in accordance with your purpose. I did not plan on being on the radio today at all, Father. I had other plans on my plate. I wanted to write my newsletter. I wanted to write my sermon for New Year's Eve. Yet I'm compelled to call the radio station and assist my brother Roland and the listeners, as this really pertains about the Word becoming flesh and beholding His glory at the foot of the manger. I ask you, O Lord, for wisdom and for fortitude, both to hear and to speak only that which you would desire that we would do. Be present with us now, O Lord, and help us to communicate the gospel in such a blessed manner that hearts may be changed, especially the Muslims, Lord, so that they might really bow the knee before Christ and not worship their false God and their false prophet, Muhammad. In the name of the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I've loaded up the balance of that audio. Let me finish playing out the entire clip. And
please do.
Then
please.
We'll go to your commentary. Hold on, Pastor.
Okay.
None but Allah. And that is the true message of Jesus, as found in the Quran and in the statements of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this period as well, the Muslims, those who have the attribute of commanding good and forbidding evil, should realize that Christmas has many evils associated with it. Every true Christian as well knows that this has nothing to do with Christianity. This pagan festival, where there is promiscuity, the abuse of alcohol, domestic violence, and all kinds of crimes, breakup of families, which are associated with it, is something which the Muslims must put on their agenda to forbid and to invite people away from this debauchery into Islam, the pure way of life. And indeed, Jesus will return one day, and he will break the cross, and he will pray behind the Muslims, and he will declare with them that indeed he believes in the finality of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in Al-Islam.
And that's where the audio ends, at least for the portion that I've picked up for today. At the beginning, in fact, if Jesus was alive today, he would be following the Muslims and Islam, implementing Sharia law. And at the end, you heard this fellow, his name is Anjem Chowdhury, I believe he's from England, an openly declared jihadist, say that Christ is going to return to break the cross. Pastor.
Well, I think you know this first. I am from Palestine. I'm fluent in Arabic as well as Hebrew as well as Greek. I do not speak Greek, but I read Greek and I translate Greek. And the Muslims have always had that fear of Christianity. And anyone who knows the history of Islam, Muhammad tried to convince the Christians, the early Christians in the 6th century, to follow him. But they would not, because they said, you have a false God. And it was then that he turned upon them by the sword. Now, what he is trying to say, this Anjem spoke right here about Christ, that he has spoken of Muhammad. They take the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, where Christ talks, I will send the counselor, their scholars, somehow believe that this is speaking of Muhammad, which is absolutely ridiculous and blasphemous, to say the least, and to say that Christ himself is truly the one who is going to be coming and take away the cross. These are just undercurrents within the Islamic faith to put fear upon the hearts of the Muslims and to convince them that theirs is the only true religion. What he talked about, that Christmas has all sort of malice events to it, murder, liquor drinking, and debauchery of all sorts. Yes, to some extent that happens, but to those who are true followers of the faith, Roland, it's not like that. For us, it's different. If you want to talk about hypocrisy, study the Islamic faith. Then you will see what it is that they do and they don't do. They live in public. Case in point, you know, you have, who was the Osama bin Laden, right?
Right.
We just shot him, our own people. Thanks be to God for that. But what did they find in his computer? All sorts of pornographic material, all sorts of things that they were condemning the Western world for. We see that with Hezbollah in Lebanon right now. They condemn all of the things that they are doing, but they are sending their own girls for prostitution so they can raise funds to be militant and to do so. You go to Iran, Ahmadinejad. He is trying to promote and to produce the atomic bomb. And the reason he wants to do that is he wants to hasten the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, who's coming. And when he comes, according to their teaching, which has been going on forever, is that when he comes, this 12th Imam, he and Christ are going to be hand in hand with Jesus taking the sword and start murdering all of the Christians. I don't know where they get these thoughts, except one place, the devil himself. There is nowhere in Scripture where Jesus himself said, take up the sword. Never. Study the Scripture and you will see Jesus laid his life willingly. He never fought, never lifted hand to kill anybody. Even when Peter took the hand of one of the soldiers, what did Jesus Christ? Healed him. Muhammad used the sword to frighten people. Christ brought them to his bosom. Love them enough to die for them. That's why Christmas is so special for us. And anything this man says is nothing but the mouth of the devil himself.
The frightening part is this one. This fellow is absolutely convicted in his belief. The story starts out by saying, calling him a radical, calling him Islamist, calling him a jihadist. And he says he wants, this Anjem Chowdhury, once called for the assassination of the Pope as well as President Barack Obama, and said it was quite legal under Sharia law.
Absolutely. But you see, this is what doesn't make sense. In the Quran, for example, it says, no, you shall not kill life because life is special from God. Okay? On the one hand, I got to give credit for the Quran in that aspect. Yet on the other hand, for example, Surah 9, verse 5, it says, kill the infidels. Well, you know, so you dissect the life as well. If you don't believe they are following what you're supposed to be following, then they have rights to kill you. That's not the God we have. Our God, according to the book of Hebrews, is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Their God fluctuates and changes. Our God is permanent. Love your neighbor. Do good to those who hate you and persecute you. Pray for your enemies. Be kind to them. Muslim says, no, that's not the God we have. It's either us or we kill you. We don't do it that way. And what they are trying to promote, and actually there was another guy from Lebanon who talked about you can't even say Merry Christmas. Because if you do, you go into hell.
I did see that story.
Okay, and I don't remember how he correlated that, and I don't want to be on the air and say something improper, but it was a terrible analogy that he said. And again, maybe you remember this wrong. It would be easier to kill somebody rather than say Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
something to that effect. I'm not 100% sure.
His complaint was that to give the salute Merry Christmas to someone would be to affirm Christ as more than Islam sees him as being, as co-equal with God, and this is the height of all blasphemies, because
that is correct.
There is
that
only
is
one
correct.
God, and Allah is his name, as they say.
That is correct.
So blasphemy is, well, you know, there are, well, cases in the Old Testament of blasphemers being stoned to death. Stephen, yesterday, it was St. Stephen's Day, was that not the charge against him?
Correct. And yet, when Paul, who was the one who condoned this, saw what he did, he repented, because remember, he said, I'm the chief of sinners, I'm not worthy of the grace of God. Judaism, of course, promote that also, blasphemy, and think of John chapter 8,
right,
when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. And he said, what? Before Abraham,
I am.
I am. And what did they do?
They wanted to stone him.
Absolutely. Because he was saying, I am God. They were not foolish. They understood what he meant.
Now, perhaps you could help me understand before we get to the break here. We've got about 5 minutes, Pastor. When this Chowdhury fellow says, Jesus will return one day and he will break the cross and he will pray behind the Muslims, he will declare with them that indeed he believes in the finality of the message of Muhammad in Islam. Break the cross. That's a phrase that I've not heard before.
Well, to break the cross, because you have to understand also the teachings of Islam. Islam denies that Jesus Christ was crucified. They say, إِنَّهُ لَا صُلِبَ وَلَا قُتِلَ لَكِنَّهُ شُبِّهَ عَلَى إِنَّهُ. In English it says, he was neither crucified nor killed upon the cross. God could not do this to one of his prophets. But it appeared that it made him look like he was upon the cross. So for us, the symbol of hope is the cross, right? We talk about the cross as the bridge between heaven and hell. It is the reconciliation message for us. It is the hope of all glory for us. Without the cross, without the empty tomb, we have nothing. So to say that they're going to break the cross, they're going to break Christianity completely and annihilate it completely, because Christ is the one who's going to say, you are foolish, you don't know what you are doing, which is contrary to what the scripture teaching is. Their fallacy, their instruction is false, because it comes from the devil. The devil always teaches by lies.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Nabil Noor from Armour, South Dakota, is joining us. Guest pastor who was scheduled for today did not make it, and as a kind friend as he is, joins us. The attention originally caught by the story about Sharia law and this fellow Chowdhury, who says that if Jesus were alive today, not only would he be a Muslim, but he would be implementing Sharia law wherever it's found. Before we get to the break here, Pastor, is there a possibility that you could do sort of a quick compare and contrast between Allah and the God of the Old and the New Testaments, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Trinity is the one distinction, but between Allah and Jehovah, what are the differences?
Very quickly, I don't know how many, we have 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, about 2 minutes, and we'll go to the break, and then
okay,
we can pick up on the other
side. Let me summarize it in this way. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is one and the same. Their emblem in the Scripture, from beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation, it is loving His creatures. Okay? Love. Love, love, love. The God of the Muslims, there is no love. He is a God who hates people. He wants them to walk before Him, and if they don't do it like He says, they're going to be so bludgeonly battered with a baseball bat until blood comes out of their head. The God of the Bible is a God of love. He seeks you. He goes after you. He woos you. He desires to be your God. He desires to serve you. The God of the Muslim is you have to serve Him. And if you don't, there is no hope because you're going to go to hell. The God of the New Testament and the Old Testament is a God who serves you. He gives you the power to be His follower. He forgives your sins through His death and resurrection, and He gives you hope. And because we know what He has done, then we are moved by faith to follow Him and to do His will.
Also, Allah is absolutely arbitrary and capricious, regardless of how you may live your life, whether you keep the five pillars, however you may act. If at the end of time He decides He doesn't want you in paradise, you don't go.
That is correct. That's why they would, in Arabic, they would say, Inshallah. Are you going to go to heaven? They would say, Inshallah, if God wills. Well, if God wills, Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. It's not if, it's not might be, it's not it could be, you will. Think of Luke 22:42. Christ is on the cross, right next to him on the cross, and the thief says to him, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And what does Jesus say? Today, you will be with me where?
In paradise.
Paradise. There's not ifs or ands or buts.
And that's a great setup for why this man, this Anjem Chowdhury, is so dangerous because, well, as it's been reported, maybe you can confirm and explain, there is one guaranteed way to paradise. That'll be the discussion when we get back on Ask the Pastor. Again, with many thanks to Pastor Nabil Noor of Armour, South Dakota, for coming to our rescue today as our guest pastor on Ask the Pastor. You can join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Dr. C.F.W. Walther once told his seminary students, I wish to talk the Christian doctrine into your very heart, enabling you to come forward as living witnesses with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I do not want you to be standing in your pulpits like lifeless statues, but to speak with confidence and cheerful courage. Today, Concordia Seminary still strives to do just that.
When the Bible says that God sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, what does that mean? Does God have events that He wants to take place and plans them at the most opportune time? And if so, does God also do that for your life? It's the subject of our next live broadcast on Tuesday. 1 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
On KFUO Radio.
Let's say you're a mom and you want to put on the perfect birthday party for your twin daughters. So you get a clown and he dazzles everyone. And you order a cake and have the bakery put something nice on it.
Happy birthday, girls.
And you hire a pony to give everyone rides. And it all goes perfectly.
Best party ever, Mom!
And you're the perfect mom. But even if it doesn't go that way and your clown doesn't dazzle, and the bakery doesn't spell out the right message,
happy birthday, Gil?
And the pony doesn't give everyone rides, it can still be the perfect birthday party because kids don't always see things the way you see them.
Best party ever, Mom!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of siblings in foster care who'll take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org.
Korean-American missionary Robert Park, who was tortured in North Korean prisons, says tens of thousands of Christians and their families are still being tortured and starved to death in the communist nation.
If anyone is found to have a Bible to believe in Christ, they're executed. But not only are they martyred, their non-religious relatives are also killed, including children, including grandchildren, because North Korea has a three-generation policy.
Park entered North Korea from China two Christmases ago, convinced that God had sent him to proclaim freedom for the captives. His torture until his release 6 weeks later left him permanently maimed and suicidal. Now back in South Korea, Park sees scant hope for persecuted Christians as Kim Jong-un replaces his father, the late Kim Jong-il.
I know how evil these people can be, and Kim Jong-un is definitely not a reformist.
North Korea is now engulfed in an official period of mourning for Kim Jong-il, but the U.S. has refused to express any condolences. I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I am Wilmot's claim to fame was cloning the sheep Dolly. It opened a Pandora's box of ethical issues surrounding the first days of life. Since then, science has moved forward at breakneck speed with cloning and embryonic stem cell research, none of which has proven helpful to treatments or cures, but kills human life. Last month, while speaking to researchers in California, Dr. Wilmot advised the abandonment of embryonic stem cell research. He says it shows no promise and leads to the development of tumors. He said the research community should instead focus their attention and resources on adult stem cells, which don't take the life of human embryos. His surprising announcement comes on the heel of Geron's recent abandonment of clinical trials with embryonic stem cells.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Ask the Pastor portion of the Bible study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. A great friend of KFUO joins us this morning as a replacement, but a grateful replacement we have. Many thanks to you, Pastor Nabil Noor from Armour, South Dakota. Before we get to the back to the topic of this fellow, this Chowdhury guy, and the whole idea of jihad and dying for the sake of Allah, take a moment, Pastor Noor. It's only fair that we remind people about Bike for Life. I saw the photographs online about this year's Bike for Life. How was the response, and how can we still help?
Well, thanks to all of those who have graciously supported us through the last 14 years for the Bike for Life. It's a little bit over 100 miles of riding to save babies from being aborted in the abortion mill. And unbelievable, the grace of God is so unbelievable. It really is. I've been doing it for 14 years, and this is the highest year for receipts. Even in a year of, depression as we have it, or recession, or whatever, economy's low, we are standing as of today at 17,437.62. We have never reached this landmark. It is unbelievable. Actually, I just wrote a thank you for our newspaper, and I submitted for our Lutheran Witness insert for South Dakota an update on the Bike for Life, and I'll forward that to you, Roland, here when I'm done with you. And it is just unbelievable. And on that, I have how we could continue to pray for the ministry of the Bike for Life and Lutherans for Life together, as well as if they wanted to donate, they can do so. And I will include that unless you want me to share it on the radio.
Well, go ahead and do it now. We've got listeners. Okay. And this is an important good work in the cause for life. You started this several years ago, as you mentioned. It's lasted remarkably. You've talked many times about how you don't know if this may be your last year, because as age creeps up, this is not an easy thing for you to do. But, you know, the number of children whose lives have been saved because of what you've done in raising this money, the ultrasound work, it is demonstrable. Explain that.
Well, you know, when I started 14 years ago, I really never intended to do this every year. And how it started was just goofy, actually. I had received a bicycle from my children for Father's Day, and we were trying to raise $40,000 to purchase an ultrasound machine for the Alpha Center, which is a pregnancy crisis center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And Lutherans for Life had committed themselves to purchasing the unit. There was one pastor who challenged his congregation if they raised $2,500, he would shave his beard that has not been shaved for years. Well, the congregation came to the task and did that. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? I had received a bicycle, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll just ride to Sioux Falls. Oh, my gosh, crazy. You know, and I'm thinking, I'm a strong man. I'm 42 years old. I'm very athletic. I'm very active. It should be no problem. But I'll tell you, when I hit the 70-mile mark, my rear end started bleeding, literally, and I was crying from the pain. And thank God I had one angel with me who kept telling me, just continue steady. And then I kept thinking, it's not as bad as somebody being torn to pieces, piece by piece, or being burned with solution. Anyway, so that year we raised almost like $8,000. I'm not sure yet, but then when people heard of it, there was only two of us at that moment, and this past year we had 42 riders from across the state of South Dakota. Unbelievable. I mean, I would have never dreamt it would have taken this. And what it does, we have this ultrasound machine, and since then we have purchased a new one, and we keep it updated. We pay for the doctor's visit who run it, and the technicians who come. And it's a pregnancy crisis center. When a woman comes in to assume to have an abortion, they go through this ultrasound, and they show the baby. And we know for a fact that according to the statistics we have, 96% of all women who see their baby in the womb will not abort. 92% of all men who see the baby will not abort. So we have a high ratio of saving babies. And as of now, as far as knowledge is concerned, we are at least 25 to 2,800 babies saved.
That's remarkable. Thanks be to God.
That is remarkable. And God's people have been so gracious. We just, like I said in my few moments ago, we have never raised this amount. We are at 17,400, which is unbelievable. And thanks be to God. So if anyone would like to donate, they can do it in this way. They can write the check to, and I'm going to give the abbreviation only, because, and then I'll explain why it is, Southeastern South Dakota, SESDLFL. Again, SESDLFL, that stands for Southeastern South Dakota Lutherans for Life, care of Pastor Nabil Noor, P.O. Box 158, Armour, South Dakota 57313-0158. And it is tax deductible. If they need that as a tax deductible, all they have to say, let me know that, and we will make sure they get the proper papers for that.
I'm glad you said that, you know, because, brother, let me tell you, this is the time of year people are thinking about that, and this is an exceptional way to get one of those deductions if you happen to be looking. Hey, let's do something here very quickly, Pastor. John's been waiting patiently with a comment that he wanted to come into the program with. John, thanks for hanging on. Merry Christmas, and we appreciate you calling the program. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas to you both, and Pastor, I have to say that you guys are truly, truly doing God's work in the abortion thing. I would really like to personally thank you for that.
Thank you, St. John. Thank you so very much. Thank you, and a very Merry Christmas to you as well.
And you too. I will try to keep this as brief as possible. I live in a little bit of a, it's somewhat of a diverse community. You know, we have different folks coming and going around here where I live. And I happen to have some friends of mine happen to be, excuse me, Jewish. And we have interesting discussions. I enjoy talking with them very much. One of the questions that it just kind of floored me, and I thought maybe I could get a little bit of insight from you guys. One of the things that they had told me was that Jesus did not fit the requirements for him in the Old Testament. He did not fit the requirements to being the Mashiach. I think he said Mashiach, Messiah.
Mashiach, yeah. Which means
right.
Messiah.
Okay, and I kind of looked at him. I said, so you're telling me basically that there are requirements of, and they passed out like Isaiah and I think he said Jeremiah, and there's some various others. So basically they said that, and I kind of smiled, but then they said another fellow named Bar Kokhba or something was more.
Yep. 130 A.D. Sure.
Yeah, so I'm just calling to ask that question. Can you give me a little context on it? Interesting discussion we have. We all love each other to death. I mean the pieces. It's just that they're friends, great friends of mine. But we do have some interesting discussions, and I thought maybe you could kind of help me out here.
I will, but stay on the line, please. Don't
sure.
hang up, St. John.
Sure.
Number one, let me highlight a couple of things right away that as far as the requirement is concerned for the prophets or the priest or the king, Jesus mm-hmm. held all of these three offices. Number one, he comes from the line of David. He is a royalty born unto David, who is Joseph, as well as Mary. And if you read in the book of Luke, he comes from the line of David on both sides. So that's number one.
Okay.
Number two, he is the great-grandson. David would be the great-grandson of Boaz, which includes all of the Gentile people. So God chose to have his son, according to John 3:16, he will be the savior of the world, not only for the Jewish people. That's number two.
Okay.
Number three, Isaiah 53. He is stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Okay? It mm-hmm. talks about him, and Christ himself fulfilled that. Number four, Psalm 22. They will divide my clothes for me. I have seen my bones. Not one of them is broken. Number five, you have Micah. All of these things, and I can go also to Isaiah chapter 7. Behold, the Baalah, which is the virgin, shall conceive and born a son. He's the only one in the whole world who was born as a virgin, virgin born. Isaiah chapter 9, his government will have no end. All of these are the requirements for God to put him on the throne. One final thing. The word of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. He needed to be God in order to atone for us, but he also needed to be man in order to fulfill the law. So, and in both aspects, mm-hmm. what the Jewish people do not want to acknowledge is they want to use reason rather than the Scripture to affirm what Christ has said and did.
Ah, okay.
It's reason. You know, I believe it's in Paul. The Jews require, Greek wants sign and Jews wants a miracle, right?
Right.
Well, how many miracles did Jesus do?
Oh, boy.
A whole bunch of them. But no matter what miracles he did, they refused to listen. It's because of reason. And one of my colleagues and a good friend of KFUO, Roland, Dr. Peter Karowski.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. St. Peter.
He taught me something very well, and I would like to pass it on to the St. John and to the many others who are listening and following through. He spoke about reason and treason with a T.
Okay.
He said, if you can take a Bible and put it above my head, I can use reason to read the Scripture and by God's grace and His Spirit to decipher what the Scripture says. I can use my reason because that's what God gave me. That's the brain I have, and I can read the Scripture and I can follow through and go that route. However, what many people do, not only Jewish, but we also heard it in the opening remarks of the program with the Muslims, when you put reason above scripture, it becomes treason. Now, I determine what is correct and what is not, who God can be, who he cannot be. It is up to me rather than what God said.
Ah, okay. Fantastic.
Do you understand the difference, St. John, between
absolutely
reason and treason? Mm-hmm. They're one letter difference, but what a difference. Reason.
What a difference.
Yeah, reason allows me to read the scriptures. Oh my, God talks about it in the Old Testament, and I see it in the New Testament. Treason says, oh no, 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 it can't be. God can't be this way. The same things with the Muslims. They say, well, God will not kill his own prophet. Well, we know better, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Well, you cannot use treason to determine. You can use reason to decipher what Scripture has said.
Fantastic again. As usual, I have to say that you guys there at KFUO and everything that you're doing is just, I tell you, the more I listen and the more I discuss with the pastors and you know, with you guys, is just, it just, it's always an uplifting message. And I do learn so much. I do appreciate the show, and thank you for your answer.
Hey, John, just a quick question. I know that you had talked in about called in and talked about your family situation, and you were on my mind this Christmas. How'd it go?
Thank you so much, Roland. I appreciate that. Challenging, but it went well. We set out I appreciate your thoughts. I really do. I was as humble as I could be. I did set out our little tree. We did, of course, some gifts for the children and for my wife also. The kids were quite excited.
That's good. I should mention to Pastor Noor that John has Jehovah's Witnesses in his family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yes.
It's funny that you even bring that up. This morning I was having, with my adopted father, having a cup of coffee, and he had said he had visited with somebody, and I said, yeah, I went to their place of worship. There was an invitation sent out, and I was flabbergasted when they talked about celebrating the death of Christ and not the resurrection of Christ.
Yes,
and literally.
Absolutely.
Literally, yes. I was just
literally
flabbergasted. I was just terrified.
Pastor, and Roland knows the struggles that we've had with this to a certain degree. Of course, it is a complete. It is so completely contrary on some of the items that they teach. And it's the holidays, especially around Christmas, is a tough time. It is different. Things went well for us. We kind of have a standing agreement. But I think the most inspiring thing to me, Roland and Pastor, was that I actually took the time. I don't know, maybe some families do this and maybe some don't, but I took the time to before we started opening gifts and things, before things got excited, I took the time to tell them why I felt that we celebrate, and that, it's the birth. It's the birth of a Savior that has saved us all. And that's the whole thing. That's, it's not about trees, and it's not about wrapping paper. It's about the birth of a Savior.
Amen. Amen.
So, Roland, thanks for thinking about me.
Thank you. God bless you, John, and hang in there, brother. We're thinking about you, praying for you, too.
Blessings to you, St. John, and the rest.
Let's continue on through the phone calls here, because Larry has got his Quran open before him and has a question for you. Larry, I hope you understand just what kind of a wonderful opportunity you have talking to Pastor Noor today.
Oh, absolutely, and I appreciate Pastor Noor stepping in for the pastor that was unable to make it. Pastor Noor, I'm sure that you have went through the Quran, right?
I do. I don't have it in front of me, but I can go get it in a couple of seconds.
No, you don't need. I've got one in
front of me. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, I do.
I sent away for a copy years ago and got it from somewhere down in Texas. Anyways, you know, in going through the Quran, I see a mismatch of theology. It's like there's some Jewish theology that Muhammad used. There's some the esteeming of Mary over Christ, or on a level over Christ, or at least a parallel. But there's one verse here that I want to share with everyone and get your comment. And it says, "We slew the Messiah, son of Jesus, son of Mary, Allah's messenger." And they say, "They slew him not, nor crucified, but appeared so unto them, and lo, those who disagree concerning it are in doubt thereof. They have no knowledge thereof, save pursuit of a conjecture. They slew him not for certain." Doesn't that almost sound like something a Jew would also say? I mean, it's
absolutely
almost verbatim.
Now, give the quotation, will you please? Tell them which surah it is and which verse it is.
It's Surah 4, 157.
Very good, because I spoke that in Arabic earlier in the first session of that. You are so correct. It is the same things. And one of the things I did not share, Roland had asked me what's the main difference between. I did highlight the difference between Islam and Christianity. But one of the things that I did not say is this, that Muhammad was illiterate. He could neither write nor read.
Right.
But he was a caravan dealer, and so he dealt with a lot of people, both Christians and Jews, who would come through to Mecca and Medina, and they would be there for 2 to 3 to 4 weeks while they were unloading their shipment. And it was during those times that he would listen to them. And so he got it all confused.
Mm-hmm.
So he's borrowing from the Christians, he's borrowing from the the Jews, he's borrowing from the atheists, he's borrowing from all of these people. He got it all together, and you highlighted two of Mary, right? He talks about Mary,
right.
Mother of Isa. However, if you read further, guess who Mary is? She is the sister of Moses and Aaron. Oh my gosh, we got almost how many centuries between them? Over 2,500
right.
years between Jesus and Christ. So it's all mumble jumbo. It doesn't make any sense.
It is.
Go ahead.
And there's one other. This sums it up for me. In Surah 3:54, they say, "And they, the disbelievers, schemed, and Allah schemed against them, and Allah is the best of schemers." Do we want a God who is a schemer, or do we want a God who saved us from our sins?
I love it. I love it. That's why we do not even need our own scriptures to back up the truth, because their own Bible speaks of the God who always changes. And one word that I'm going to use, and it's a big word that is often used in my lectures, according to theirs, there is abrogation of earlier verses. You know what the word abrogate mean? St. Larry.
Abrogate?
You know yes.
To confirm, right?
No, to do away with.
Oh, to do away with. You're right.
Okay, to do away with. So if you take the Quran, for example, there are certain surahs that were spoken earlier, which we call them pre-622, where he was docile and passive and calm and stuff like that. So when he spoke these words, God was very gracious, was God very very kind. But when he became huge in numbers and followers were coming from all over the country, then he became this aggressive God with the sword. And so what he said earlier was abrogated by a newer verse. So it goes again to show you that which have been spoken by God is different than that which was spoken by God at a later time. And I said that earlier, our God has not changed. He's the same God in the Old Testament as the same God who's in the New Testament. He still sought his people in the Old Testament. He still seeks them even today. And so their book is completely mumble-jumble, mixed up.
I want to ask you one quick question. I know we're against the clock. And
I've got one
Roland.
More caller I want to get in here real quick.
Okay, buddy. Real quick. Have you ever heard, Pastor Knorr, that Muhammad had an arranged wedding with a Roman Catholic woman?
Yes, he actually killed her husband, and then while they were traveling, he pitched his tent and consummated the marriage. She is number 13 in the manual.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Larry. We appreciate the call. Good conversation. Let's very quickly see if we can get Jim in here. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Brother Roland. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. Where did you get this man?
Armour, South Dakota. He is an incredible pastor, isn't he?
I say praise God, and but I have enjoyed this program today to no end. Pastor, praise the Lord for good truth, for bringing it down to the place and differentiating it between God, Christianity, and Islam, and making us to know what Islam is. I hope you had them back on, Roland.
Oh, hey, we will get Pastor Noor on as often as he is willing to come in, even if it is sort of accidental and spur of the moment, Pastor Noor. What do you think of that?
Well, that is great, Roland. I don't know if our listeners know, but I travel extensively, and so far I've been in 23 different states lecturing on this specific subject. So God has been really gracious to this young man, and I'm thankful that we can serve him in a one way or another with the gift he bestowed upon us so that we can continue to edify the saints, expand his kingdom, and exalt his name. After all, this is what it is that God has given us to do, right?
Absolutely.
To tell the story. The shepherds went to the manger, and when they left, they could not help but tell everyone that they had seen. And so we want to do the same. We want to tell them the truth, why God came. He came for sinners like you and like me.
Pastor Nabil Noor serves in Armour, South Dakota. Now, are you still in service to the Southeast South Dakota District?
Correct. I am the second vice president.
Second vice president. So not just a pastor, but also very heavy responsibility on Pastor Noor. But what a remarkable witness. Thank you, Pastor.
It is a privilege, Roland. It really is a privilege.
You're a dear friend. Thank you for coming to our rescue today. Thanks. And as you can hear from the listeners, greatly appreciated. Thank you for your time, my friend. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Roland, one thing. Check your email. I sent you the things that I just wrote about the thank you.
Very good. We will get that up on the air as well. God bless you, Pastor Noor. Thank you so much. Saint Nabil. Don't forget, SESDLFL, care of Nabil Noor, P.O. Box 158, Armour, South Dakota, 57313. Support Bike for Life.
Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.